Today's text is from the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Today, we'll embark on a journey to explore the blessed reality of our worship through the words of Revelation. By doing so, I hope that we'll gain a better understanding of the heavenly reality that Christ accomplished and be able to worship God with faith. In Revelations 2 and 3, Jesus shows us the seven churches, which represent all the churches on earth. If you look at them, you'll see that they are all flawed, imperfect, lacking, and in danger. It may seem like they are losing the spiritual battle and have no power over this world. They are helplessly failing amid suffering and persecution. However, that is not the complete picture. There's another reality that is invisible to this world. Through grace, Jesus accomplished this and gave it to us. This blessed reality is shown in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, I will show you what must take place after this." A voice like the sound of a trumpet speaks to Apostle John. This voice is the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King who has reached the glory of heaven in Revelation 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, verses 17 through 19. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this." King Jesus Christ, who has ascended to heavenly glory, speaks to his church with a voice as powerful like a trumpet. In chapter 4, he calls his church to the heavenly worship. Apostle John was called upon to witness the reality of heaven, but we as the church and saints are also invited to participate in it. Jesus calls us to come up and witness the blessed reality of heaven that we already belong to and will enter soon. He wants us to see this reality as our present truth by faith. Additionally, he urges us to come up and witness the glory of reality of heaven, which is already ours. This is a call to worship that reveals the true essence of the worship that we offer today. In the first part of verse 1, we are presented with an image of an open door in heaven and the Lord calling us to come up here. This symbolizes that the gates of heaven are already accessible to us. It reminds us of the moment when Jesus' body was torn and he bled to death on the cross, and the curtain covering the most holy place was also torn from top to bottom. This act signifies that God has opened the door to heaven for us. He is calling us to come up here, which refers to the place where Jesus Christ is, and to enter heaven through the open doors. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. God calls us to enter heaven through the door opened by the blood of Jesus. This call to worship invites us sinners who would have gone to hell to enter the gates of heaven. Jesus calls us to come before the throne of God and see our heavenly glory. This invitation is not a call to evangelism, but an invitation for the saints who have already been saved in Christ to enter heaven and worship God before his throne. Psalm chapter 16 verse 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forever. This verse shows that the ultimate reality which brings us the fullness of joy and eternal pleasures is fellowship with God. We are invited to taste and enjoy this reality by worshiping God before His throne and experiencing the eternal joy that is prepared for us. Revelation chapter 4 verse 2. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, and with one seated on the throne. John mentioned that he was in the Spirit, which means he was in the Holy Spirit. According to John 4:24, God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. This means that the time has come for the believers to no longer worship God solely in the Jerusalem temple. Instead, we will become the holy temple where the Holy Spirit resides. We worship God in the true reality of heaven with the help of the Holy Spirit. Apostle John followed the voice of the Lord, which told him to enter heaven through an open door. He went in the Holy Spirit and reached the throne of God. It's mentioned in verse 2 that there was a throne with someone seated on it. This means that he reached right before the throne of God. It is amazing that the first thing that Apostle John saw upon reaching heaven was the throne of God. This tells us that when we enter heaven after being called by God, the first thing we will see is God sitting on the throne. This is a reminder for us that as saved believers, God's throne is not far away. Even now, we belong to heaven spiritually, and we can worship and have fellowship with God right before His throne. In the Old Testament, people had to go to Jerusalem, where the temple was located, and pass through the holy place to reach the most holy place where God's throne was. Only the high priest was allowed to approach God's throne once a year, and Israelites had to stay away from it due to differences in holiness. However, in the present reality, there is no distinction between the temple and the Holy of Holies in heaven. Heaven is both the temple and the Holy of Holies, where the throne of God is. This means that all saints can enter heaven through the open door and immediately approach God's throne to have the closest and most intimate fellowship with Him. This is the reality of the worship we offer now. This becomes even clearer when we read today's text where John says, "At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne." He reveals that as soon as you pass through the gates of heaven and enter it, you see the throne of God with Him seated on it. This means that the believers do not have to wait long before they can approach the throne of God. They can do so immediately upon entering heaven. When a believer dies, their spirit enters heaven first and approaches the throne of God, where they are embraced by God the Father and Jesus Christ. This reality can also be experienced in the Holy Spirit through worship. And what is amazing is that this will become a full reality when Jesus comes again. The worship and prayer we offer are not just mere rituals, but a reality in which we are immediately brought before the throne of God in the Holy of Holies in heaven. Though we cannot physically see it, we are indeed before the throne of God, and He shines His loving face toward us. Through Christ, we always have heavenly fellowship with Him. In today's passage, John represents us, and as soon as we enter heaven following the voice of Jesus telling us to come up here, we are immediately led to the throne of God. There we meet God the Father, who gave up His only begotten Son to save us. We also meet our Lord, who was crucified and paid the price for our sins with His precious blood. Being held in their arms and seeing them face to face, we have the closest and most intimate fellowship with them. This is the reality of our worship and prayer. We are always living before the throne, serving God day and night. Moreover, God seats us on His throne together with Jesus and allows us to live in loving fellowship for eternity. Please do not forget that this is our reality even now, and the reality that this worship testifies to. Revelation chapter 4 verse 8. Day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Angels continuously surround the throne of God and offer their never-ending praise to Him who sits on the throne. They praise God for His holiness, power, and eternity. As we reflect on this, we should do so with reverence and recognize that we too are participating in this ongoing praise. God is the Lord and King of all things in the universe. He is the Most Holy One who rules with complete faithfulness through His power and wisdom. Therefore, all the glory and praise must belong to God alone. His sovereignty governs all things, and His throne is at the center of the universe and all of history. We must never forget that the object of our worship is our God, not ourselves. Humanism has absolutely no place in worship. It is a great sin against God to make man the center of worship. Although Satan and his servants oppose God, they are under his rule. In Psalm 2, God laughs at them from his throne, and in the end, they will be punished by God's righteous judgment. We too must recognize God's sovereignty and see his holy throne. We cannot be the masters of our lives or live centered on ourselves. We cannot try to become God or build a kingdom that we rule according to our desires. Worshipping God for such a life is idolatry that God rejects. God must be the object of our worship and praise. This is especially true for churches and believers who bear witness to the kingdom of God on this earth. We acknowledge God's sovereignty in our lives, and Jesus Christ is the King of the Church. Therefore, we must give all the praise and glory to God alone. The same goes for our personal lives as well. God must sit on the throne of our hearts, giving Him all the praise and glory. The fear of God should be the foundation of our lives, and we must constantly come before the throne of God in Jesus with reverence. This is the worship we should offer to God. Hearing the voice of Jesus calling us to come to Him, we must realize that He has accomplished salvation for us, even to the point of shedding His blood on the cross. Therefore, we should hold on only to the blood of Jesus and the merits of His righteousness, and boldly move through the open gate of heaven to the throne. We must acknowledge who is sitting on the throne, ruling and deserving of all glory and praise. Repenting of our sinful ways, we must worship God who calls us by His grace alone and dedicate our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should live with fear and trembling in reverence, praising God as holy, 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 acknowledging that He rules with His almighty power. Above all, we should recognize the amazing grace that saved us sinners and made us His children for eternity through the love that offered up Jesus Christ. We should remember that He is still ruling our lives, making us more like Jesus and leading us to the glory of heaven. Therefore, we must look to Him, worship Him with reverence, and renew the purpose and meaning of our lives to be in line with His pleasing will. We must focus on the heavenly reality as revealed in the words of God and understand that we have been called by God to stand before His throne. Only then can we truly worship and live a life that reflects our divine calling. If we fail to acknowledge Jesus and the blessed reality of heaven that He achieved, we may only see our earthly circumstances and distance ourselves from God. Therefore, we must open our eyes of faith, recognize the reality of heaven, approach God with repentance and offer Him sincere worship. Additionally, when Apostle John was led to the throne of God, he saw something remarkable. Revelation chapter 4 verse 5. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. There are seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. In this context, the seven spirits of God refer to the Holy Spirit, who is sent from the throne of God to dwell in the church of Christ. This doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit has seven spirits, but it's called the seven spirits because it's poured out and indwells the seven churches, which are the churches of Christ on this earth. The Holy Spirit accompanies us to heaven and never leaves us, but stays with us before the throne of God. And we see someone else in verse 6. Revelation chapter 4 verse 6. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The four creatures we've seen before, with eyes on both the front and back, are known as cherub angels. They also appear in the book of Ezekiel, where they surround God's throne in the center, and God is seated among them. In the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant is placed in the Holy of Holies, and the cover of the Ark, known as the Mercy Seat, is referred to as God's throne. In Exodus 25, God instructed the Israelites to make cherubim statues on the Mercy Seat. Additionally, cherub angels were embroidered on the curtain covering the Holy of Holies, and made on the cover of the Ark of the Covenant, pointing to the throne of God. This way, cherub angels surround and are in the center of God's throne. When we worship, cherub angels are with us. Who else is with us when we worship? Revelation chapter 5 verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. Revelation chapter 5 verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voices of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. In the presence of God's throne, there are not only the Holy Spirit and the cherubim, but also the 24 elders and countless angels. In the future, we will learn more about the 24 elders who represent us. All of them are praising and worshiping God together, and there is one who is the most precious and important of all. In both Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, we see heavenly worship where the most precious one comes before the throne of God at the peak. It is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb. Revelation chapter 5 verses 6 and 7. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. Jesus fulfilled God's entire plan of salvation by dying on the cross. He was resurrected and ascended to heaven, and is now seated on the throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus takes the scroll from God, which records all of God's work of salvation. This shows us that Jesus is now the one who rules over all things and carries out all the work of salvation and judgment until the end of the world. Jesus also receives praise and glory together with God the Father. Therefore, we worship not only God the Father, but also our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a blessed and glorious scene to see God and Jesus sitting on the throne and receiving all the glory and praise. Revelation chapter 4 verses 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." First, the 24 elders return the crowns given to them to God and worship God, praising him as the creator of all things. But their praises do not stop here. Revelations chapter 5, verses 9, 10, and 12. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." When Jesus took the scroll and sat on the throne, the 24 elders worshiped and praised him as their Savior with a new song. In verse 13, we read about how all creation praises and worships both God and the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 5 verse 13. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the sea and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." This is the blessed reality of heaven and the worship today. In the end, all of redemptive history governed by God will end this way, with God and Jesus Christ receiving all the glory and praise and ruling forever. Therefore, we must live our lives in a way that brings glory and praise to only God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we are still very flawed and frail, like the seven churches on this earth, and even though we may face hardships and trials that make us feel like we are losing and falling apart, we should still worship God so that they may receive all the glory and praise. This is all because of the amazing grace of Jesus, who saved us by bearing our sins and being judged in our place, and because of God's great love, who gave his only Son. Dear saints, during this worship service, we must see God and Jesus who sits on the throne of heaven and rule. We are in the presence of God, and he will accomplish everything he has made it possible in Jesus. No one can oppose God, as he is our loving Father. Jesus promised that no one can take us away from him. We are God's children who belong to heaven, and we receive his love. We will be protected and preserved until the end, and reach the throne of God where eternal joy awaits. So let us now reflect on who is on the throne of God. Revelation chapter 7 verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know, And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to the springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The people who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, clothed in His righteousness, and dressed in holy white garments, serve God before His throne. They will never again feel hunger or thirst, nor will they experience sin or sorrow. Instead, they are filled with complete joy and satisfaction, praising and giving all glory to God. They are incredibly happy and grateful because of their fellowship with God and Jesus. They are before the throne and worship God day and night. These are the saints who were once sinners, but were saved by the grace of Jesus. They were once objects of God's infinite wrath, but instead became children of God's infinite love. These are the same people who would have been judged in hell, but instead they reached the glory of heaven through the grace of Jesus, who received the punishment of fiery hell in their place. These people are you and me. We are now worshiping God with overflowing gratitude and joy in this heavenly reality. We live a life that glorifies God and enjoys His presence before His throne in heaven. We worship God with overflowing joy, never leaving His presence day or night. Those who have begun this heavenly life are truly blessed people. Those who testify of this heavenly life through worship are blessed, and those who live in this heavenly life with sure hope are blessed. Dear saints, let us live by faith before the throne of God, giving all praise and glory to Him, enduring all hardships and trials on this earth, and even through the shortcomings of ourselves and the church until the day of glory. I hope we live worshiping the Lord and Father God with our whole hearts forever and ever.